after a disappointing second-half performance in Sunday's 31-17 loss to the Lions, head coach Rob Chudzinski is looking for his team to be more consistent and play a full 60-minute game.
Okay, good morning. Disappointed, obviously, from yesterday. A tough loss for our team and our fans. The Lions are a very good football team, and they beat us in all three phases yesterday. We played well in spurts. Our main goal right now going forward is to be more consistent. It's never just about one play or person to assign blame. We all can be better, and there are many correctable points and things that we can grow from going forward with our players as we make the corrections. This was one game, as I mentioned yesterday. We're 3-3. We can only control the things that we can control going forward. Green Bay on the road is going to be a heck of a challenge for us, and we'll be excited for playing them when that comes around. We'll take questions now.
Chad, are you contemplating a change of quarterback?
No.
Why not?
This was one game. I thought that Brandon played well in spurts and at times, and obviously he made a couple critical mistakes.
I know there's been a lot of emphasis on the one play, but are you more concerned with how you guys got to 24-17 and what might have happened after that?
Well, that's a lot of different reasons and a lot of different things that happened. And, you know, it's not just one guy, as I mentioned before. So there's some things we need to fix. Obviously, talked a lot of it yesterday about, you know, us coming out in the second half and playing better. You know, I think the guys have the energy's there, the emotion's there. We just have to come out and execute better in the early parts of the third quarter.
What do you think you guys, either as an offense or coach, can do to help Brandon be better moving forward?
Well, you know, it's a combination. Anytime, you know, you're talking about offense, there's a lot of different people and moving parts involved, and it takes 11 guys, you know, to be successful. And we're playing well at times, and at times we're not playing so well. You know, I think that, you know, you look at it, Brandon's doing some good things. And it's just really just a matter of cutting out the critical mistakes.
Is that what's maybe kind of in some ways most maddening, my word, not yours, to kind of describe his play? Because it is so up and down. He plays pretty well for a little while, and then it's like the second half was completely different. Is it hard to put your finger on what exactly, what he's doing wrong? When he plays so well like he did in the first half?
You know, it's the thing that you look at it from a coaching standpoint. You're trying to put your finger on that, and it really just boils down to those critical decisions and mistakes that, you know, he made yesterday. And I know he wants them back and would like to have them back, you know, but there's also mistakes from other guys there too. You know, at times, you know, we didn't have anybody open, you know, and he's trying to find somebody. At times we made some mental mistakes, whether it was in the run game as our protections or routes or whatever they are. So, you know, obviously the quarterback is the guy that everybody sees, and that's part of the job. But, you know, we all have to get better and play more consistently overall.
Is there a reason that you think that Poyer was so able to find Cameron? And is it a difference? Are teams paying more attention to Cameron now, or – some quarterbacks just have favorite targets, and he doesn't seem to be one of them.
No, you know, every game's different, and what's there in different games can be different, and how the plays come up and the coverages that come up when those plays are called. And obviously Jordan, you know, he's not going to take people by surprise, so people are paying more attention to him.
Now, you weren't losing by two touchdowns until 2 minutes left, so I don't think time was an issue. Why run only five times in the second half?
Well, if you look at it by series, you know, I think we had the four series that we had. You look at it on first and second down, and I think we were three runs, three passes during that time, the first three series that we came out. The fourth series, we got the intentional grounding penalty that put us in you know, after the first play of that series. So, you know, I think you have to look at it from that standpoint on rundowns and real run opportunities. You know, what's the breakdown? What's the balance?
Chuck, what is keeping you from getting a good look at Jason Campbell in a game? He's got 71 career starts. Is there something blocking that
No, there's nothing blocking that. You know, I feel good about Jason. Again, I'm going back to, this has been one game. I thought Brandon played well and did a lot of things to make plays to help us win Buffalo or beat Buffalo in that game. And this was one game. And, again, we have to really just work on those critical errors.
Is there any camera angle that showed that Little touched out of bounds? Is there any camera angle that showed that they made the right call?
Well, I think that it was a call that I would guess if it was ruled the other way, probably would have stayed and wouldn't have been overturned. You know, I could only go by what I saw at that particular time on the field. I had a pretty good look at it. I thought it was, but obviously they didn't have enough evidence to be able to overturn it.
Are you concerned that when a guy, like a quarterback, makes a mistake, and you call it critical mistakes, like Brandon made, where he's throwing it backwards and kind of going against everything that you probably coach him not to, you tell him not to do that, and yet he still went ahead and did it. Are you concerned that he could be losing the confidence of the players around him?
No, I don't see that at all. You know, he was trying to get rid of the ball and as best he could, and, you know, at that position, you know, you see it across the league. Guys make mistakes, and they're going to throw interceptions and things like that. It's a matter of, you know, being smart with the football, and we have to take care of the football.
Yesterday after the game, you said you didn't have a real good clean angle of it, but now that you had a chance to see it on film for yourself, what was your reaction when you actually saw what he did?
Yeah, we don't ever want to flip a ball like that. You know, when you do that, and you're pitching on something underhand, it has a tendency of going up on you and rising on you. And so, obviously, you don't want to do it in that manner. You want to throw the ball out of bounds or take the sack if you have to.
Did you do something similar later in the game?
Sorry?
Was that a fumble, or did he do another underhand flip later in the game?
It was a fumble, kind of.
So you guys have led at halftime, I think, in all six games. You obviously haven't been able to hold all of them. You know, people like to talk about halftime adjustments. Do you think that's an issue when you come out, you know, you're not making the right adjustments?
You know, again, I don't. There's really not a lot of adjustments. You do things as the game goes on, and so some of that's overrated in terms of what you're doing there. You put a plan together, and then you talk to the guys about going forward, what you need to do. We're looking hard at that, at what we're going to do at halftime, and if there's some things procedurally that we may change. But, again, the guys are coming out. The energy is good. Their focus is good. They know what they needed to get done, and it's a matter of just executing.
Did you guys have some discussions here last night or today about making a change at quarterback and decided against it?
No.
A week ago, or after the Hoyer injury, you said on two occasions that the personnel department was working hard to find a third quarterback. Is that still going on? Is there any chance of a third quarterback?
We're constantly looking at all those options. We picked up Charles Johnson, who, you know, we had evaluated coming out and from college and felt like getting the best player available was the right thing to do at this time.
Chuck, defensively, after you looked at it from yesterday in the second half, did you feel that it was more Detroit just identifying and finding matchups with their receivers against linebacker safeties that kind of sprung the door open for some of those bigger plays?
Well, they're a tough team to defend. I mean, they have a lot of guys that can make plays, and I think you saw it yesterday. If they get you one-on-one, those matchups one-on-one, there's enough different guys that they don't have to rely on one or the other. You know, I think that, as I mentioned yesterday, Reggie Bush is a difference maker. Calvin Johnson's a difference maker. You see Pettigrew making plays. Faria came in and made plays. And, you know, Bell came and made some runs. So they really stress you in a lot of different ways. And, you know, they made the plays when they had the opportunities.
I know sacks aren't the be-all, end-all for considering whether an edge rusher is playing well, but Kruger has one sack in six games. Where is his performance right now in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that was key were they were able to protect against us yesterday, and we didn't get the kind of pressure that we would have wanted. Stafford did a great job of distributing the ball and getting the ball out quickly, and you know, so hats off to him in that regard.
Overall, in the six games, is one sack enough from a guy like that?
Well, you obviously want more. And, you know, hopefully we'll get Jabal back this week. I think we get a little more of a rotation where guys aren't having to play so many plays. That'll help.
You had Wayden for four games this year. He played, I think, 15 last year. Now, obviously, you looked at a bunch of tape of those games. Where do you think he's at right now as a player?
Well, I think you looking all the way back, I think there has been improvement and growth in his game. You know, I go back to the Buffalo game where he made plays and was a big part of us winning that game. And this game where you look at the first half and he played well and you know, made some key plays again to help us, had no turnovers. And what we have to do is, you know, work with him to eliminate the critical mistakes.
Craig Robinson took blame on himself for yesterday. What can he do to get that game behind him?
Well, just like all of us, you learn from what you did, correct the mistakes, and, you know, this is a new week, and once this day's over and we're done looking at the tape, we're moving on, and it's going to be about Green Bay. And you have to do that as a player. You have to do it as a coach. And if you let things dwell or carry them with you, you're never going to be able to get better.
But is it more difficult for – I mean, you've been coaching in this league for a long time. Is it more difficult for a young guy like him to do that?
I don't think it's really about young or experienced. It's more about the individual. And, you know, I think, you know, Craig stood up yesterday. You see what kind of guy he is. I think he's really, really improved as a player, and I think he'll get better from the experience.
Chud, you worked for Schottenheimer for a time. There were times when his quarterback faltered that he'd retreat into what was called Marty ball, which was kind of just dedicating everything to running the ball. Is that an option at this point with this team 3-3 and a lot of football ahead? Is that a consideration?
I think that what we need to do is really stay the course, and from a philosophy, strategic standpoint, you know, the run and the pass really go hand in hand of where we're at right now. And I think we're improving in the running game. Just to ditch the passing game and go 100% run, I don't think it will be in our best interest. I think that we need to continue to get better in both. And whether it's, you know, Brandon, whether it's offensive line, which I thought our offensive line really responded and played their best game yesterday. I think that, you know, again, we're improving running. And I think that they go hand in hand, and you just can't do one thing in this league.
You said that you thought the offensive line, and this has kind of been a theme the last couple of weeks where you've talked about how the line has played much better and they're playing their best of the season. So where is the breakdown occurring then as far as broken plays where Brandon is concerned, where he's having to throw it away or take a sack or he makes one of those ill-advised decisions?
Well, it can still be a pressure. It can still be a mental mistake. It can still be some of those things. I just thought our offensive line played their most physical game with a big challenge that they had going into the game. That they came up and they responded in that way. Now, it wasn't perfect, and there's definitely some things we have to improve and fix from that game yesterday up front. But, you know, it's not just offensive line. It's not just receivers. It's not just quarterback. It's not, you know, it's everybody working together, and you see it at times happening the way you'd like it to happen. Other times, not so much. And, you know, we just have to keep working to improve.
Got time for just a couple more.
What can Quinn Groves do differently after they call today?
You know, we send in a number of plays each week to get clarification on, and we'll do that. You know, what it was explained to me was that he drove him into the ground on that. That was the explanation I got on the sideline. So he can't do that.
Coach, are you entirely convinced that Brandon was actually really trying to throw the ball away, or do you think that he was kind of trying to make a play to hold him?
I mean, I can only go by what he said.
He said both things. And he kind of said both things, so.
Yeah, you know, you never know when it's that momentary, that split second when a guy has that decision to make. It just seemed to look he was trying to throw it out of bounds.
Last question, Scott.
On the grounding
call that Brandon got, was that a good call? Did he just need to take two more steps before he got rid of
He needed to be outside the pocket.
Do you think all the talk last week about him not taking sacks and getting the ball out of his hand, do you think that contributed all to either the grounding and or the decision to try to flip it out of bounds?
Well, I think he was just trying to preserve the play so we didn't take a negative play and a sack. You know, obviously you just got to get out a little bit further outside there and, you know, or throw it in the ground, you know, at somebody.
Thank you.